Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cohen, and we're waiting on Nico Riesgo, and looks like Nico is in the bank here. Nico, how are you?
Russ Cohen, my man.
All right, let's talk a little baseball. Sorry, not much advance notice there, fans, but I've got a bum elbow, so I'm not doing much on the computer or typing. So this is something that wasn't easy to set up. Let's talk about a little bit of Major League Baseball here. We're going to talk about pitching. Nico really wants to talk about the sort of the pitching overview in the league. I agree with him. Good example. We'll take Jacob DeGrom's 13 strikeout performance the other day. This is a game where he strikes out 13, doesn't give up many hits, comes out in the seventh, threw enough pitches. Now, after the game, he covered for his manager, and he said he was done. I don't know if he was done, but okay. I'll take him on his face value. Fernando Salas was a guy that had been used 11 straight games from the start of opening day to that game. Keith Hernandez, one of the announcers and a great ball player, had said before the game, I don't think I'd go to Salas. I really think he needs a day off. Terry Collins went to Salas. He gave up the eventual game-losing hit. So, Nico, Terry Collins in the bullpen. It's still an issue.
It is, and you never know when he's going to pull the trigger, and it's like he's got these horses, but he doesn't seem to know how to use them until he gets them out right at the seventh, almost like these other teams are just waiting, licking their chops for them to get to their bullpen and get, let their starter and go to the showers, and that's where they have the advantage, and they got to keep these starters in there until they win the game. Let's win some ball games, and then maybe later in the year give them a rest when they got a nice little 20-game lead or something like that on the division.
Now the Mets are in the thick of it. They're 7-6, Miami 7-6, Washington 7-5. But to be in the thick of it, the Mets should be a little bit better than that. They've probably given away two or three ball games now via these. And look, bullpen's going to blow some games. Don't get me wrong. Some of these games they lost because there was no hitting either. That happens. You know that happens. That's a normal thing in baseball. But I'm just, the way I look at it is, if I'm Terry Collins, until Jerry's Familia comes back, you know what? Addison Reed, I know you're not fond of four out saves. Well, now you're going to be doing them. So get ready for that. And he's got to lessen the load on some of these other guys. Otherwise, you know, you're going to get into August, and these guys are going to be pitching in like 80 games from the bullpen. It's too much. Too much to expect from any human being, really.
Yeah, you got to know how to, like I said, if you've got the horses, you've got the pitchers are dominating, why are you taking them out? I mean, he may have said that he's done for the day, but, you know, you got to read them. It's like if you can still get another inning out of them, we got to get an inning. We got to almost assure to get to that ninth inning, the eighth, ninth at least there with the, you know, with the win, you know, in the league.
Yeah.
Before we take our horses out. Look at the Rockies. It's a good example. Who did they just hire as a new manager? But he's playing aggressive ball. You can see the starters are finishing games, and it's good to see somebody finish a game as a starter. It's like, wow, somebody actually can finish a game.
Yeah, Bud Black.
So Buddy Black,
and he is a former pitcher.
Give him some kudos. He's going after it there in Colorado. He didn't have a chance in San Diego. They just didn't give him the horses. But he looks like he's got some hitters, and now he's got some pitchers that he could really, you know, his expertise is pitching. So if he can give him some insight and some tricks there, he could have a winning team there in Colorado.
Yeah, no question. I think I've seen Black do good things with a pitching staff, and it sort of doesn't make sense to me that we don't see more former pitchers as managers because pitching is so important to the game. Pitchers understand strategy. Pitchers have to study hitters. You would think you would see more of that, but we don't. And it is a little weird, but that's okay. I mean, you know, that's something where maybe over time we'll start to see that. But, yeah, I give Bud Black all the credit in the world. I mean, that's you're right. You have to go that way. And especially in that field, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to pitch in that field. So,
and giving your pitchers any type of confidence you can in that environment, that's another thing to take that in there. So, excellent managing. We're going to see a run for the manager of the year right there in the National League.
Oh, I don't know. It's a little early. You always get crazy. I don't know. I think it's a little early for manager of the year. I think I'm not ready to go there yet.
Well, if he can take the Rockies to contending and actually to win the pennant there, I would think he deserves it.
Okay. I mean, look, that part I get, and I think that, yes, deserving is another way of putting it, and that's fine. But, yeah, I don't want to go manager of the year just yet. So in the early part of the season, what's striking you from a pitching perspective that's been a little different?
It's like, where are the dominant pitchers? I mean, God, these hitters, it just seems like they're just taking over the game, because you used to have a few pitchers by now, 3-0, and, you know, almost nobody can touch them and finishing games and getting the wins. And now you're seeing a lot of zeros and ones and ones and zeros. And, you know, very little starters are getting the big wins, you know. Who's leading the league in wins?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'll give you that. Usually pitchers are ahead of hitters. But, you know, Noah Syndergaard, even though he's only got one win, that's not his fault, but he's got a .9 ERA, .95. He's got 20 strikeouts in 19 innings. You know, that's as dominant as you can get, especially in this era, I think.
Yeah, but he's not getting the wins. That's the thing. As good as he's got in Pitts, it's like, what's he got? He's got one win out of the deal, and it's already, you know, a month into the season.
Yeah, I mean, but again, it is just a month into the season. Right now, in the NL, you've got Johnny Cueto with 3 wins with San Fran, but he's got 18 strikeouts, 19 innings. He's got a 3.79 ERA. He's clearly getting some offensive help. So there's your 3-win pitcher, but, I mean, does that mean he's dominant? I don't think he's dominant. I just think he's getting hitting. You also have in Milwaukee, Willie Peralta is 3-0. Is he dominant, though? No. No, Willie Peralta is not a dominant pitcher. He's a good pitcher, you know. But, like, as an example, the league's hitting .233 against Cueto. So it's not like he's totally fooling them out there. Some of it has to do with your hitting when you're getting wins as a pitcher. That's the thing.
Well, he's established himself as the horse of the Brewers. When he pitches, he wins games. I mean, he's got 3 wins. I mean, that's got to be exciting when you're looking at the Cy Young. It's like, that's an added advantage. If you're getting that wins, you're getting a Cy Young opportunity.
Yeah. Well, here's an example, though. Like I said, Syndergaard, I already gave you his numbers. You know, DeGrom in 3 games has a 1.89 and 22 strikeouts in 19 innings. He doesn't have a win, but it doesn't mean he's not dominant. Jacob DeGrom is pretty dominant.
Yeah, but that's going to hurt him when it comes down to negotiations and look at his performance.
Of course. I mean, it hurt Syndergaard last year. I mean,
our
league award.
We're not going to give you the $20 million a year if we can't win ball games.
I mean, Max Scherzer is 1-1. He's got 17 strikeouts in 12 innings. He's only given up 8 hits. That's pretty dominant. But again, he's only 1-1. It's not his fault in those 2 games. I mean, that's where you have to sort of look at it. I mean, Matt Harvey's
2-0.
Yeah, Matt Harvey's 2-0. See, the thing is, you know, Kershaw's 2-1. The thing is, we have to look at run support. And run support is so important. Like, I used to always see guys like Tom Seaver and Steve Carlton not get enough run support, and yet somehow they managed to have great careers. Like, Ervin Santana's 3-0. Are you going to call him a dominant pitcher? He's got a .41 ERA. Technically, right now, today, this moment, he's the best pitcher in baseball. You're going to just hand him the Cy Young?
I would say at this point he's the leading horse, and I would say that the Twins
sure,
have a number
he's the leader,
one.
But you're not going to hand it to him yet, right? There's a lot of season left.
They can go against any ace. He probably pitch against any ace of any team, and if the Twins are going to win, they definitely need him.
I mean, CeCe Sabathia is 2-0. Is he dominant? No. No, he's far from his dominant
age. When you look at it, he's kind of using his little expertise now. He's got that big body and that big frame. He's been around for a long time. He knows how to pitch. And it looks like the Yankees are getting the corners, and they're playing great baseball. I mean, 9 wins in a row. We're still playing baseball. And I don't know how you do it. This homestand has been one of the best they've ever had.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I think what you have to do in this game is, now that everybody's a 6- and 7-inning pitcher, I think that plays into it. Guys used to be able to win 20 a lot easier when they used to be able to close out games and have full control over what was going on. You know, as an example, again, Noah Syndergaard, lots of games get blown when he comes out. His career record could be way better than what it is, but it just hasn't worked out that way. And that's baseball the way it is now in the 21st century. Like that, you know, they're not letting Noah Syndergaard pitch complete games. Do I think
he
can?
Well, how is the starter going to ever get in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't win any ball games?
Well, teams don't care about the Hall of Fame anymore. They, you know, they care about their monetary investment. But here, Syndergaard's a good example. Right now, he's 24-16, which is a hell of six. That's a 600 winning percentage. He's winning 60% of his games. He could be winning 75% of his games, but they won't let him throw the innings. He's never thrown 200 innings yet. The most he's thrown is 183 innings.
A World Series in our lifetime here, I mean, other than 85, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he's one of the most dominant pitchers in the game, but the way they're managing him is the way that most guys get managed now.
Yeah, they're not winning any World Series championships. So they got the horses, but they're not winning the games. It's like, what? Why? Are they content with just being good? Or they just don't want to be great? Or you know, maybe it's leadership.
Well, I think it comes down to dollars and cents. I think that's what it comes down to. I think when you look at what these pitchers are making, you know, I want to say Kershaw's over $100 million, right?
A year, or you're looking at this contract?
You know, I mean, when you're talking about guys that are over $100 million, you know, now you're going to be talking about them being handled differently. And now the agents want them to live through these $100 million contracts so they can get to the next contract. And so that is going to affect championships. Yeah, this year, as an example, Kershaw's making $35 million. Greinke's making $34 million. Price is making $30 million. Verlander, $28 million. Felix Hernandez, $26 million. Sabathia, $25 million. If you notice, none of the Mets pitchers are on this list. They don't have any pitcher on this list, yet they may have the best pitching staff or one of the best pitching staffs.
It's a still, and they're like hiding them, and they're like I said, they're hiding them from the wins, and they're hiding them in the stat categories, but they know what they're doing. Like I said, that's for sure. When it comes to paying their pitchers, they're not paying them very much at all compared to their worth and value.
Right. But again, do I feel like at times that they are blowing it? Absolutely. I think that's totally just to feel that way and to say that, because that's a big deal. I mean, that's, you know, that's something where it's affecting really everything. It really is affecting everyday play. But, all right, so right now I'm looking at a list for run support. And I'm going to look and see. So Mike Leake is getting a lot of run support. And he's right up at the top for, you know, pitchers. Syndergaard's seventh. Excuse me, seventh in run support. So that's not bad. That's actually not bad.
The Mets, I mean, they don't score a lot of runs for them, but it seems like they should score enough to win. But like I said, their bullpen has lost a few games for him. He's just come out too early.
Yeah. Right now, CC Sabathia, he's getting 5 runs a game. That's why he's got 2 wins.
And he's got him at home. You know, something about pitching in Yankee Stadium there,
yeah.
The ghosts of the past always seems to live, and the Yankees play way above everybody. And I don't know if everybody's intimidated playing there, but the Yankees sure know how to win at home.
But when you're getting that kind of run support, you better be winning games. Now, A.J. Griffin, he's 2-0. Is he a dominant pitcher in the game? No. He pitches for Texas.
Could be. How old is he? What's his youth? He could be one of those up-and-coming that we don't know anything about.
He's 29 years old, so it's not youth. He was drafted by the Phillies. He was drafted by everybody. He's bounced around. He was on Oakland. Now he's on Texas. Last year he was 7-4, but he's off to his best start. You know why he's 2-0? Because they get 8.33 runs a game for him.
You know, and you got to give some credit to the pitcher because it's a whole positive mentality that he attracts the hitters that they could feel that they're going to get a good quality start and they want to get out there and score some runs. And they want to score runs every day, of course. But like I said, it's just some pitchers that you've got this mentality and this connection with where you're actually just somehow like magic, you're scoring. And like I said, they're scoring big time.
I mean, Matt Harvey, he's getting 7.33 in his games. I mean, look, it's early. This stuff's – and Harvey's pitching great, so I don't want to take it away from him.
I would say that he continue getting that support because I think the players have seen Harvey come through a transition when you're the best pitcher in the world and then all of a sudden you're hurt and you can't do anything and then you have to rehab through that and you got to try to even get close to where – that you were before. That was a struggle for him last year to even get close to being as great as he used to be. And now he's actually showing some flashes of his old greatness and the team is rallying behind him and giving him some help.
Sure. All right. So here's a great stat. So we talked about Johnny Cueto. They're getting 7 runs a game for him. Of course, Johnny Cueto is going to do well.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's sometimes the pitcher, you have to give them credit for that because it's like a
– not always. I mean, I get the confidence part, but, that's a lot of runs.
Together. That is a lot of runs. You got to give him credit. When he gets out there, he knows how to get his players to get him some runs, and he works with them. He maybe pumps them up. He gets them excited. I don't know, gives them a high five, a special handshake. Whatever he does, it's baseball.
So you're telling me now if he gives a special handshake or a high five, that's good for 2 more runs a game? Is that what you're trying to sell me?
Well, listen, you know, George Brett would put pie tar almost at the end of the bat. I mean, players do a different superstitions. They'll write crosses. They jump over lines. You never know what they do to keep them in their little hot streaks and their little motivation. You got to have all this little tiny self-motivations to kind of keep you through the game of impossibilities. I mean,
all right, now I'm going to give you the perfect scenario. Here is the perfect scenario. And I even drafted this guy in a fantasy league because I have total faith in him. I knew last year they shut him down. It was the right thing to do. He had arm trouble, but it wasn't big-time arm trouble. Dallas Keuchel. So you look at Dallas Keuchel, and they're averaging 4.33 runs a game. So compared to some of these other guys, it's not a ton. But for Dallas Keuchel, it's all you need. Because in 21 innings, he's given up 8 hits. 8! I want to say it again. 8 hits in 21 innings, 5 walks. His whip is non-existent, 0.62. The league is hitting 116 against him. That's pretty amazing.
That's your dominant pitcher. Now, where is he now? Like I said, you're going to try to take him out in the 7th inning? I don't think so. He's going to try to finish that game. There's a reason why the Astros
they take him out. Here's his last 3 games. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs. 7 innings, that's it. That's all you're getting. He's 2-0, but he is probably the most dominant pitcher in the game the most dominant pitcher in the game, he doesn't even have the 3 wins that you're looking for yet because he gets taken out in the 7th inning.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, what's his contract? How much money? Because you said, how much is he worth compared to what someone like Kershaw's making?
All right, well, let's see. Dallas Keuchel, I got to try and find him on the list here. You know, I don't...
Yeah, near the bottom.
I don't have everything at my fingertips here, Nico. I hope you know that. So, you know, you're pushing me. I'm working with one arm here.
If you're paying under $1 million for him a year, you're getting a steal of a deal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm still looking it up. But anyhow, this is where we are. Complete games are pretty much non-existent. You'll see a guy pitch maybe two of them, three of them in a season. Right now, Dallas Keuchel salary, and we hope Baseball Reference is right, is $9 million. Pretty good value.
Wow, that's like you got the best pitcher in the league for $9 million compared
yep.
to someone like Kershaw.
Some of the other guys making $20, $30, $35 million. Yep. 2 years ago, he won 20 games. Last year, he only won 9 because he was hurt. Now he could possibly win 20 games again. No, that's a good value. I mean, that's he's 29. You're getting him at the best time. You know, he's certainly $9 million and not going to hurt him. He's making good money. But he could make more. If he was out on the market, he would make more money. There's no question about that. So,
if he got out of his arbitration, was he up for free agency?
Listen, I'm not his agent, but he is arbitration eligible for 2018 still. So he's got to wait till 2019 to be a free agent.
Whoa. So they've got a couple of good years to get him at a bargain.
And they're a good team, Houston. I mean, that's where you want – that's an important thing right now, is where you have a guy who can still pitch like that. He's rebounded, and now you've got him at a great price, and he might just be the best pitcher in the game. Might be.
Right, and if you get Correa healthy, I mean, the Astros are right there looking at winning the World Series, so it's going to be a great tier to watch them and watch them play healthy. Altuve, I mean, he did a remarkable thing over the weekend. It seemed like he got on base either 9 or 10 consecutive times. That's almost amazing for someone who just does it every single year. He's been doing it every year. He just gets on base and scores runs.
It is amazing. I will definitely say that. I mean, there's no question about that. But, hey, you know, I mean, you were touting him 3 years ago.
Yeah, he's a definite baller. And I have, like I said, my own ratios and how I rate these players. And like I said, if you're scoring runs and you're driving in runs, those are the two things that you look at. And he's been the most productive player in the game, except for the 5 years, except the top ballers. I mean, he scores runs and he drives in runs. And that's included when there's two outs. I mean, that's a key thing. There's two outs and there's a man on second. And somebody get that run in, and it seems like he'll get him in any time. You know, he's a hitter. He's a pure hitter. And if you're going to pitch to him, he's going to get a hit.
So now, let me ask you an important question. What is the percentage of importance for pitching in this game overall? Like, so basically, if you had to put a number on it, is it 50% of a team's success? Is it 60? Is it 70? I'm going to put it at, like, 65%. I think it's that important. I think the Mets have shown you could make the playoffs and not have the best hitting. You could have home run hitters, and that sort of gets you over that hump because you're not getting everyday hitting from a lot of guys. But if you hit that three-run homer, you can get away with it if you've got great pitching. So I think that's the combination that has gotten them through because they don't get a ton of hits every game. But what's your percentage? What do you think?
65%. I would say that's even low for pitching. I would say 75% pitching. I mean, pitching, you want to have a dominant pitching staff. I mean, hitters just get no respect. I mean, they don't. I mean, even like I said, if they're hitting 300, they barely get the respect that they deserve hitting 300. I mean, it's so hard to hit. And like I said, you think anyone can do it, but it's impossible to find those great ballers like Altuve and the Nolan Arredondo and the Trouts that we see every single year, year in and year out, putting in to produce in the numbers. It's going to be interesting to see Mookie Betts this year because he put up some of those baller numbers last year. And, where is he at this year? And can he be the same player 2 years in a row without the big poppy? He's off to a slow start. So I'm looking for him to put up some numbers. So if he's going to be, if it wasn't a flash in the pan, if he's going to be a real baller, he's got to do it year in and year out.
Well, I did take part in a poll, and they asked me who I thought, like, the AL MVP was and different things. And I did put Mookie Betts in there because I thought, you know what? He could get over the hump this year. Maybe he will do it. He's got a lot of players around him. He's a great player himself. So we'll see. But if I had to ask you who the best hitter on the Orioles is, and he's hitting 364, and again, we're early in the season, I don't think you can name the guy. He's got 4 home runs. He's only gotten up 22 times. He's got 9 RBIs and 22 at-bats.
Whoa.
And I don't think you can name him.
I probably could name him when you're looking at the Orioles, but it's you've had some guy named Mancini come on the scene there.
That's it. Trey Mancini. That's who it is.
Okay. Then, I guess I've been
following the Orioles. That's a good one.
He's out of nowhere. Yeah. He's added some power that they, like I said, obviously they knew about him, and that's why he's there. He's going to be a surprise to the world. It looks like he's no fluke. I mean, he's got some quick hands. Kind of reminds me of seeing myself hit every once in a while. You like kind of blink and say, what happened? Did the ball, he really hit it that hard?
He's a 25-year-old rookie.
That's amazing. They could have something special there. Like I said, they're getting him for a bargain. And someone who's got hands like that, who's got the snap of a wrist. When you see a snap of a wrist, it's like, whoa, you don't have to be, Hercules to hit home runs. You just got to have a good technique. And you got to snap those wrists at a time and be able to change the alter of the spin of the ball. And that ball can go a long way, proving that he knows what he's doing. And it's going to be fun to watch him during the summer get hot.
No question. Now, probably the most underrated guy in the league, and I went to a game last year and didn't get to see him live, Nolan Arenado is already up to 327. And he's a guy that's always worthy of talking about because – his on-base percentage is .397. So even if you want to say, hey, it's because he hits in Coors Field, well, he's got an on-base percentage of .397. He's got 17 hits already. Hits a hit.
And he's been doing that every year for 5 years. It's nothing new with this guy. He's the baller. He is the baller, the best hitter in the game. I think I called him out as the best player last year, and, nobody knows it, but the guy just does it every single day. With a great defense, too, so...
Yes.
It's really awesome to see him play either defense or offense. He's pretty much, like I said, what's he make a year?
I don't know. I'm not looking it up. But I do want to point out last year's darling, Trevor Story, not so good. Hitting .114, only 1 home run. So it does show you that. Go ahead.
He got hurt. He shows you got hurt in one little injury can do to an amazing skill when you're looking at how hard the game is to hit. And if you tweak a hand, good luck hitting. I mean, you got to hold the bat to hit the ball. And if you don't have a strong hand, you're not going to hit the ball. I mean, that's what's happening. He's hurt and he hasn't recovered from hurt and he's trying to play without he's being fully recovered. And I don't know if he'll ever be fully recovered. I mean, it'd be interesting to take a look at what his injury really was.
Yeah, we'll have to carry that over to the next show, but I hope people enjoyed the overview of MLB pitching so far this year. Nico, you got a minute? You got anything you want to plug?
Today's show brought to you by Penske Oil. Drink it up. Go fast.
All right, and go to Amazon.com. You can get our book, Strike 3. You can get any of my other books, Numbers Don't Lie, New York Mets. You can get all of them. Just check me out, Russ Cohen, Amazon.com, Baseball's Best Rookies. I've got another baseball book coming out, Pioneers of Baseball. So we love the game. We'll see you next week.
My man.